Before we dive in, I need to let you know that this entire episode is AI generated, including the voices you're hearing right now. Today's show is brought to you by Mindflow Learning Pods, fictional noise-canceling study bubbles that supposedly boost focus by 40%, though this sponsor is completely made up. Please double-check any advice that seems important to you, as some details might be hallucinated. I'm Marcus, and today we're exploring a book that couldn't be more timely. Alyssa Walsh's Learning Online, A Guide for Students, hit shelves in 2020, right as the world was figuring out how to make remote education actually work.
Thanks for having me, Marcus. It's wild to think that when I started writing this book, online learning was still considered a niche alternative. Now it's everywhere.
Your background is fascinating. You spent years as both an instructional designer and a student success coordinator. What made you realize students needed a completely different playbook for learning online?
I kept seeing the same pattern. Students who excelled in traditional classrooms would suddenly struggle online. And it wasn't about intelligence or motivation. They were using the wrong mental frameworks for a completely different environment.
And you identified mindset as the crucial missing piece. Why did you zero in on that specifically?
Because online learning strips away so many of the external structures students rely on. No professor physically present, no classmates to follow, no set schedule. Success depends almost entirely on how you think about challenges and setbacks.
You draw heavily on Carol Dweck's research on fixed versus growth mindsets. Can you walk us through how that applies to the online learning context specifically?
Sure. In a traditional classroom, a student with a fixed mindset might still succeed because the structure carries them along. But online, when they hit their first technical glitch or fall behind in a module, that fixed mindset becomes toxic.
What does that toxicity actually look like in practice?
They tell themselves, "I'm just not good with technology," or "I'm not a self-directed learner." Instead of seeing these as skills to develop, they see them as permanent limitations. Then they give up.
Whereas someone with a growth mindset would approach the same situation completely differently.
Exactly. They'd think, "I haven't figured out this platform yet," or "I'm still developing my time management system." The word "yet" is crucial. It implies the capability is coming.
Let's dig into your central thesis. You argue that a growth mindset isn't just helpful for online learning, it's absolutely essential. That's a strong claim.
Tis, and I stand by it. Online learning is fundamentally about self-regulation and adaptation. Every single day, you're making choices about how to engage with material, manage your time, and overcome obstacles without immediate external guidance.
And those choices are filtered through your beliefs about your own capabilities.
Right. If you believe your abilities are fixed, you'll interpret every struggle as evidence you're not cut out for this. If you believe abilities can be developed, you'll interpret struggles as information about what to work on next.
You mentioned that online learning environments actually amplify mindset effects. Can you explain what you mean by that?
In a face-to-face class, there are built-in recovery mechanisms. Your professor sees you looking confused and adjusts. Classmates form study groups naturally. Online, you have to actively seek help and create those connections yourself.
So the environment is less forgiving of passive approaches.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Online learning also removes a lot of the social comparison that can trigger fixed mindset responses. No one sees you struggling with a concept or taking longer on an assignment.
That sounds like it could be liberating for learning.
It can be, if you have a growth mindset. But if you're used to external validation and social cues to gauge your progress, the isolation can feel paralyzing. You lose those reference points for whether you're doing well.
What's the research foundation for your argument? You cite several studies that specifically look at mindset in online contexts.
The most compelling study I found tracked community college students over 2 semesters. Those who started with growth mindset orientations had completion rates 23% higher in online courses compared to face-to-face. The gap was much smaller for fixed mindset students.
That's a significant difference. What do you think accounts for it?
Growth mindset students were more likely to reach out when struggling, more likely to try different study strategies when one wasn't working, and more likely to persist through technical difficulties.
Now, let's get practical. You outlined several specific strategies for developing what you call online learning mindset. The first one you emphasize is reframing technological challenges. How does that work?
Most students think about tech problems as barriers to learning. I teach them to reframe these as part of the curriculum. Learning to troubleshoot, navigate new platforms, adapt to updates, these are actually valuable skills.
Can you give us a concrete example of how this reframing plays out?
Let's say you're trying to submit an assignment and the upload keeps failing. Fixed mindset response. This stupid system doesn't work. I'll never figure this out. Growth mindset reframe. I'm learning to be resourceful with technology. What are three different approaches I could try?
And what would those three approaches actually be?
Try a different browser, check your file format, or break a large file into smaller pieces. But the key is approaching it as a puzzle to solve, rather than a personal failing. You're building your troubleshooting skills, which will serve you in every online course.
The second strategy you focus on is what you call productive struggle identification. Walk us through that concept.
Online students often can't tell the difference between productive struggle, working hard to understand something, and unproductive struggle, banging your head against the wrong approach. Learning to distinguish between them is crucial.
How do you teach someone to make that distinction?
Give them specific indicators. Productive struggle feels challenging, but you can sense you're making incremental progress. You can articulate what you understand and what you're confused about. Unproductive struggle feels like you're going in circles.
Let's make this real. Give me an example from an actual online course.
Say you're taking an online statistics course and struggling with probability distributions. Productive struggle. You understand the basic concept, but you're working through how to apply it to different scenarios. You're making mistakes, but learning from them.
And what would unproductive struggle look like in the same situation?
You keep trying the same approach over and over, getting frustrated because you don't even understand what the question is asking. You can't identify what specific part is confusing you. That's when you need to step back and try a different learning strategy.
So the growth mindset piece is recognizing that unproductive struggle isn't a personal failure. It's information.
Exactly. It's telling you to try a different resource. Schedz des Ossis. Reach out for help or approach the material from a different angle. Fixed mindset students interpret it as, I'm bad at math. Growth mindset students think I need a better strategy.
Your third major strategy involves what you call effort attribution training. This gets into some psychology territory.
It does. Online students often misattribute their successes and failures. They'll attribute success to luck or easy material and failure to personal inadequacy. This kills motivation and learning.
So you're teaching them to attribute results to factors they can control.
Right. When they succeed, I want them to notice the specific strategies and effort that led to that success. When they struggle, I want them to focus on what they can adjust, their approach, their environment, their study methods.
Give me a practical exercise you use to build this skill.
After every major assignment or test, I have students complete what I call a strategy audit. They identify three specific things they did that worked well and three things they'd adjust next time. No general statements like, I need to study more.
What kinds of specific insights do students typically discover through this process?
They might realize that breaking reading into 20-minute chunks worked better than marathon sessions, or that they understood concepts better when they explained them out loud, or that they needed to start assignments earlier to allow for multiple drafts.
And this builds the growth mindset by making the connection between specific actions and results visible.
Exactly. They start to see their performance as the result of strategies they chose, not innate ability or random chance. That makes them much more likely to experiment and adapt when something isn't working.
Now, you also address what you call feedback-seeking behavior. Why is this particularly important in online environments?
Online, you don't get the natural feedback loops you get in person. No nodding heads, no confused looks from classmates, no immediate clarification from instructors. You have to actively create those feedback opportunities.
But seeking feedback requires vulnerability, which can trigger fixed mindset responses.
Absolutely. Students worry that asking questions will reveal their ignorance or that reaching out to instructors is bothering them. Growth mindset reframes this completely. Questions become tools for learning, not admissions of weakness.
What specific tactics do you recommend for overcoming that hesitation?
Teach students to ask what I call growth-oriented questions. Instead of, I don't understand this, try, I understand X and Y, but I'm getting stuck on Z. Could you help me see what I'm missing?
That frames the question as building on existing knowledge rather than admitting total confusion.
Right. And it gives the instructor much more useful information about where to focus their help. I also encourage students to ask follow-up questions about their mistakes rather than just noting the grade and moving on.
Let's talk about peer interaction. Online learning can feel isolating, but you argue that's actually an opportunity for growth mindset development.
Yes, because it forces students to be more intentional about learning from others. In face-to-face classes, peer learning often happens accidentally. Online, you have to create it deliberately, which means approaching other students as learning resources.
How do you teach students to do that effectively?
I give them specific scripts for reaching out to classmates. Instead of, "Did you understand the assignment?" try, I interpreted the assignment as asking for X. How did you approach it? You're sharing your thinking and inviting theirs.
That requires a fundamental shift in how students think about their classmates.
Exactly. Fixed mindset sees other students as competition or sources of judgment. Growth mindset sees them as thinking partners who might have different insights or approaches you can learn from.
Now, let's get into implementation. If I'm a student who recognizes I have more of a fixed mindset approach, where do I actually start?
Start with your self-talk. For 1 week, just notice the language you use when you encounter difficulties. Are you saying, I can't do this, or I can't do this yet? That tiny word makes a huge difference in how you approach the challenge.
That sounds almost too simple to be effective.
I thought so too initially, but the research is clear. Language shapes thinking. And thinking shapes behavior. When you say, I haven't learned this yet, your brain starts looking for ways to learn it. When you say, I can't do this, it stops looking.
What would week two look like if someone is building this practice?
Week two, you start reframing one challenge per day. Instead of, this discussion post is confusing, try, I need to understand what this discussion post is asking for. It's a subtle shift from helplessness to problem-solving mode.
And presumably, this builds over time into a different way of approaching obstacles.
Right. By month three, students tell me they automatically start brainstorming solutions instead of getting stuck in frustration. It becomes a habit of mind.
Let's talk about time management, since that's such a common struggle in online learning. How does mindset factor into that?
Huge factor. Fixed mindset students often think they're either good or bad at time management, so they don't experiment with different systems. Growth mindset students treat time management as a skill they're developing.
Give me a specific example of how this plays out differently.
Let's say both students try time blocking, and it doesn't work the first week. Fixed mindset student concludes, "Time blocking doesn't work for me. I'm just not that type of person." Growth mindset student thinks, this version of time blocking didn't work. What adjustments could I try?
So one gives up and the other iterates.
Exactly. The growth mindset student might try shorter blocks, different types of activities in blocks, or more buffer time between blocks. They're treating it as an experiment, not a pass-fail test.
What about when students face major setbacks? Missing a deadline, failing a test, falling behind in multiple courses?
This is where growth mindset becomes absolutely critical. Fixed mindset students spiral into shame and often withdraw completely. Growth mindset students treat major setbacks as important information about what needs to change.
Walk me through how you'd coach a student through a major failure using growth mindset principles.
First, acknowledge the disappointment. It's real and valid. Then we do what I call a failure analysis. What were the contributing factors? Which ones can you influence going forward? What would you do differently knowing what you know now?
And you're helping them extract learning rather than just feeling bad.
Right? We might discover they were trying to juggle too many courses, or they weren't using active reading strategies, or they needed more frequent check-ins with instructors. All of that becomes actionable intelligence.
How long does it typically take to see results when students start applying these mindset shifts?
Students usually notice changes in their emotional response to challenges within 2 to 3 weeks. The practical results, better grades, higher completion rates, typically show up after about 6 to 8 weeks of consistent practice.
What are the most common mistakes students make when trying to implement these ideas?
The biggest one is trying to change everything at once. They read about growth mindset and think they should immediately transform their entire approach to learning. That's overwhelming and usually backfires.
So you recommend a more gradual approach?
Definitely. Pick one area, maybe how you respond to technical difficulties or how you interpret feedback from instructors. Focus there for several weeks until it becomes natural, then expand to other areas.
Are there situations where the growth mindset approach doesn't work well for online learning?
It can backfire if students use it to blame themselves for systemic problems. If your internet connection is genuinely unreliable or your course is poorly designed, that's not a mindset issue. Growth mindset works best when you're actually able to influence the outcomes.
That's an important distinction. How do you help students recognize the difference?
I teach them to ask, what aspects of this situation are within my control and what aspects aren't? Focus your growth mindset energy on what you can influence and advocate for systemic changes where needed.
Let's talk about the long-term benefits. You argue that developing a growth mindset for online learning has effects beyond just academic success.
Absolutely. The skills students develop, self-regulation, resilience, strategic thinking, help-seeking, these are exactly what employers value in remote work environments. They're learning to thrive in distributed, self-directed contexts.
So in some ways, online learning is preparing students for the modern workplace better than traditional education.
I think so. Students who master online learning know how to manage their attention, communicate effectively in digital environments, and maintain motivation without constant external supervision. Those are incredibly valuable skills.
Now let's get critical. What do you think your book does really well, and where might it fall short?
I think the book succeeds in making growth mindset research practical and specific to online contexts. The strategies are concrete and tested. Where it might fall short is in addressing structural inequities that affect online learning success.
Can you elaborate on that?
Students dealing with housing instability, unreliable childcare, or multiple jobs face challenges that can't be solved with mindset shifts alone. My book focuses on what individuals can control, but that's not the whole picture.
So growth mindset is necessary but not sufficient for online learning success.
Exactly. It's a powerful tool, but it works best when students also have adequate technology access, reasonable course loads, and basic life stability. I probably could have emphasized that more.
How do you think your book compares to other resources on online learning?
Most online learning guides focus on technical skills or time management tactics. Mine is probably the only one that goes deep on the psychological foundations. That's both a strength and a limitation. Some readers might want more practical study tips.
What would you tell someone who's skeptical about the whole growth mindset concept? Some critics argue it's just positive thinking repackaged.
I'd say try the specific strategies for 4 weeks and measure the results. Track how often you seek help, how you respond to setbacks, whether you're experimenting with new approaches. Growth mindset isn't about feeling good, it's about behaving differently.
And the behaviors are what actually improve learning outcomes.
Right. The mindset is only valuable if it leads to more effective actions. That's why I focus so much on specific behavioral changes rather than just attitudinal shifts.
Since your book came out, we've had this massive shift to online and hybrid learning due to the pandemic. How has that affected the relevance of your arguments?
It's made them more urgent, honestly. Before 2020, online learning was often optional. Now it's essential for educational and career success. Students who can't develop these mindsets and skills are genuinely at a disadvantage.
Have you seen any new challenges emerge that you didn't anticipate?
Zoom fatigue and screen burnout are bigger issues than I expected. Students need growth mindset approaches not just for learning, but for managing their relationship with technology itself. That's something I'd expand on in a revised edition.
Looking back, what's the one insight from your book that you think has had the biggest impact on students?
Probably the idea that struggling with online learning doesn't mean you're not smart or disciplined. It means you're using strategies designed for a different environment. Once students understand that, they give themselves permission to experiment and adapt.
That reframe seems to lift a lot of shame and self-judgment.
Does. And once that's gone, they have so much more mental energy available for actual learning. Shame is cognitively expensive. It takes up bandwidth you need for problem solving.
As we wrap up, if listeners take away just one thing from this conversation, what should it be?
Start noticing your internal response when online learning gets difficult. Are you telling yourself a story about your limitations, or are you getting curious about what you could try differently? That shift in attention is the foundation of everything else.
And that curiosity opens up possibilities that weren't visible before.
Exactly. Online learning success isn't about being naturally good at it. It's about being systematically curious about how to get better at it. That's a completely learnable skill.
Alyssa Walsh, thank you for sharing these insights. For anyone navigating online learning, whether by choice or necessity, this mindset work could be transformational.
Thanks for having me, Marcus. I hope it helps people see that online learning challenges are puzzles to solve, not verdicts on their abilities.